with a lot of the ideologies creeping into the church from the culture. A lot of influence of the culture is now trying to sweep away what the church has taught for over 2,000 years. On the Let's Get Real podcast this week, I want to address the whole idea of how we can recognize apostasy in the church. And what does Christianity teach, and what has Christianity taught ever since its beginnings over 2,000 years ago, as opposed to where we are today? And I know that some of the material that I'm going to address today might be offensive, but I would ask only that you hear me out and be able to engage what I share as we engage our culture for the gospel of Jesus Christ. My name is Rob Lundberg, and you're listening to the Let's Get Real podcast. Welcome to 2022 and the Let's Get Real podcast. My name is Rob Lundberg. I'm glad you came back to check us out. You know, we've been dealing with false cults and teachings and all, and just Christianity in general over the last couple of years. You know, we've looked at anti-intellectualism, and we've looked at moralistic therapeutic deism, I guess, would probably be the whole thing that's going on in the church. And that's because of the fact that the discipleship in church today really appears to be really, really weak as far as the whole idea of what does Christianity teach. There's a Pew Forum survey that happened last year, and a lot of people are going and questioning whether or not the Bible is credible and whether or not God really exists the way the Bible teaches, or whether or not Jesus was really God in human flesh, or whether or not the Trinity is something that is credible, or even whether or not Jesus' death on the cross was substitutionary, and whether or not he bodily rose from the dead. You know, a lot of the culture today really has a hard time answering some of those questions. In fact, I was talking to somebody not too long ago, and they are questioning the whole issue of the Bible being inerrant and all. And of course, we're going to talk about that in a future episode. And we're going to deal with some of those things and some of those questions that are often challenged by people who have not really studied or really not going and dealing with credible sources and good scholarship. You know, there's a lot of bad scholarship out there. And as a result, there's a lot of apostasy in the church. Now, what do I mean by apostasy? When we use the word apostasy, we're warned in Scripture, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3, let no one in any way deceive you, for it, talking about Jesus' return, will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, in who is the son of destruction. Now, I'm not going to get into the latter part of that verse, but I want to deal with apostasy. And what does that really mean? Well, apostasy simply means falling away from the truth. Somebody who is an apostate is someone who has once believed and then rejected the truth of God. Apostasy, in its essence, is rebellion against God, because it is a rebellion against God's truth. In the Old Testament, God warned the Jewish people about their idolatry and their lack of trust in him. And in the New Testament, the epistles by the Apostle Paul warn us about not falling away from the truth. And Peter also, let's throw Peter in there as well. And apostasy is very, very real, and it is very, very much a dangerous threat to the Christian church today. Now, the verse I just mentioned tells us that there will be an apostasy that is associated with the appearance of the Antichrist. And of course, you know, a lot of people today are playing pin the tail on the Antichrist as far as who it is. I've got my views on that, but I haven't got anything set in dogma on that as well. But most Christians are actually looking for the arrival of the Antichrist, but very few are looking for the apostasy that is to come first. The arrival of the Antichrist cannot occur until the sufficient apostasy has happened in the world, and the Antichrist is one who is an ultimate of the ultimate liar and cannot abide in the world where God's truth or God's word is taught. And this is why the Bible says that the apostasy will come and then the Antichrist will be revealed. Therefore, what you and I must do is we must realize as Christians, and then we also have to ask this question. And that question is this: is there an apostasy occurring in the Christian church today? Some would say no, and others would say yes. But as we look for the arrival of the Antichrist, and I want to be careful with this because I'm not looking for the arrival of the Antichrist, but that since I want to speak to those who might be, I want to let you know that we really need not also be looking for the apostasy as well. Because where you see apostasy and you see a full-blown apostasy is when you really should start looking and start playing pin the tail on the Antichrist, if that's what that's a game that you want to play. Now, where else should we first look but in our own house? For the Bible tells us the judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. It starts with the home as far as what you believe as an individual. If you are the head of a household, you need to make sure that you're teaching your family what is biblical and holding fast to the biblical doctrine. Now, if there is indeed an apostasy occurring in the Christian church today, we would not know it unless we were to first examine the Bible very closely and then compare the present day church to the Word of God. It is only after a standard of truth has been established that you and I would be able to have a measuring rod by which apostasy can be revealed or even detected. And thus, what I want to do here is I want to propose a list of biblical truths as a sample of what would be called essential and non-essential Christian doctrines, and by that which we might compare other teachings and other types of, for lack of a better word, phenomena. Now, I want to let you know that this is not absolute. In fact, the nuances on several topics can be debated, since not all Christians will agree with the categorization of all points. But still, what we need to do is we need to use the Bible as our standard, because the Bible gives us plenty of information by which you and I can know what the truth really is. Now, when I'm talking about primary essentials, I'm talking about those things that a person cannot deny and be Christian, since they are explicitly stated as required in Scripture. And there are five of these that I want to lay out for us. Number one, Jesus is both God and man. In other words, he's God in human flesh, 100% God and 100% man. And that is from the time of the conception to his life, death, burial, resurrection, and even his ascension for that matter. Number two, Jesus rose from the dead physically. And when I talk about physically, I am talking about the same body in which Jesus was crucified, only the body of Jesus was glorified. Thirdly, salvation by grace through faith, and that is the only means by which one is saved. You can't do anything to work your way into heaven. There's just no way it can be done. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest anybody should boast. Number four would be the gospel, and there's a lot of confusion about what the gospel is today in our churches. And a lot of people say it's living out the life of Jesus Christ or going and giving somebody a meal. Well, what you're doing when you say that is what you're essentially demonstrating is the work of the gospel in you, but what is the gospel itself? You know, when I was in the car business, I asked a lot of Christians when they found out that I was a Christian car salesman, you know, I asked them what the gospel is, and I got all kinds of crazy answers. But folks, the gospel of Jesus Christ is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that is demonstrated for us and described for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, and even Galatians 1, chapter verses 8 and 9, when the Apostle Paul says, if we are an angel, come and preach to you another gospel, which we have not preached to you, count the angel or the person anathema, which was damnation, divine damnation. So we can get into that a little bit later. If you have a question, you could also email me at roblundberg315, and we can go and we can kick that around if you like. And then fifthly, that there's only one God. You know, a lot of people say that, you know, there are other gods, and that other gods are proponents of religions that lead to the same truth. That is what is called perennialism. And that is not biblical, but there's only one God who reveals himself in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So the who's of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are the what? Are what? They are God. One times one equals one, not one plus one equals three. Let's move to some secondary essentials. And what I mean by secondary essentials are these pertaining to the nature of God that cannot be denied and still be Christian. Number one is that God exists as a Trinity. And I just laid that out for us, you know, that you know, we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that Jesus is virgin born. And this relates to the incarnation of Jesus Christ as God and man. Now, I did a show on this a couple weeks ago, or last week, with regards to the virgin birth. No, 2 weeks ago, because last week, it was actually 2 weeks ago, just before Christmas, where we talked about the essential nature of the virgin birth. So I'm not going to rehash that. But Jesus, in order for Jesus to be fully God and fully man, it had to have a human mother conceived by God miraculously in the womb of a virgin. Okay. Number three is the primary non-essentials. For example, things like Bible, church ordinances, and church practice. Now, denying these does not void salvation, yet these principles are clearly taught in Scripture. But denying them suggests apostasy. Okay? So somebody who's a professing Christian denies these four things that I'm going to lay out. Denial of these suggest of being on the fringe of apostasy. Number one, male eldership and pastorate. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 to 13, chapter 3, verse 15, and Titus 1, 5 through 7 makes this perfectly clear. Number two, fidelity in marriage in a heterosexual relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9. Denial of the condemnation of homosexuality. Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27. And the fourth one, the denial of the inerrancy of Scripture. Now, I know that there are many folks challenging the inerrancy of Scripture. Like I said, these folks are still Christians, but they are tap dancing on the threshold of apostasy. Number three, let's deal with now the primary non-essentials. No, actually, I just dealt with number three. Let's deal with number four, the secondary non-essentials, in other words, this does not affect one's salvation or relationship with God. And these things are what are called the debated issues within Christianity. Denial or acceptance does not suggest apostasy. One of those is, number one, is baptism of adults or infants. Number two, predestination, election, and the issue of free will. Number three, communion every week, monthly or quarterly. Number four, Saturday or Sunday worship. Number five, worship with or without instruments, traditional or contemporary. Number six, pre-tribulation rapture, mid-trib rapture, post-trib rapture, or simultaneous rapture, second coming. In other words, believing that the rapture and the second coming are the same event. Number seven is premillennialism, amillennialism, and postmillennialism. You know, postmillennialism is making a comeback, and amillennialism has always been around. And of course, I think the Bible does teach premillennialism. But folks, those things are not a test of fellowship. Those are things that we can sit around a cup of Java or sit in a pub and, you know, have a good debate on, okay? So number eight, the whole issue of spiritual gifts, continuation or cessation of the charismatic gifts. I have my views on those, but I'm not here to espouse those views. Now, when we talk about the non-essentials that are debatable, unfortunately, this is what leads to denominational fragmentation. But by way explanation of primary essentials are those doctrines that the Bible states that if they are denied, damnation follows. Now, with regards to denial, the Bible states that if you deny that Jesus is God, you're dead in your trespasses and sins. Plain and simple. If you deny that Jesus is God, you're dead spiritually. Where does that say in Scripture? John chapter 8, verses 24 and verse 58. Before Abraham was born, I am. And it says that they picked up stones to stone him. Who picked up stones to stone him? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the teachers of the law, when they were going round and round with who Jesus is. And Jesus said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Now, another one is that if you deny Jesus' physical resurrection, your faith is in vain, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14, and John chapter 2, verses 19 to 21. And if you add works to salvation, you are not in what we call positional relationship with Jesus Christ. That's Galatians 3, 1 through 3, and Galatians 5, 1 through 4. And if you preach a gospel contrary to what the apostles preached, Scripture is very clear that you are accursed. That's Galatians 1, 8, and 9, and 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Now, to deny these doctrines according to Scripture is to be outside of the camp of Christianity and outside the camp of Christ, and you're inviting eternal damnation upon yourself. This would be what is known as a obvious apostasy. Now, with regards to the secondary issues, the secondary essentials, these are the essentials that further clarify what we call biblical orthodoxy. And when I talk about orthodoxy, I'm not talking about the world religion denomination orthodox. I'm talking about what is called correct teaching. That's what orthodox really means in the essence of the word. But there is no explicitly scriptural statement regarding each, at least that I'm aware of, which states that denying them results in damnation the way that the primary essentials do. Now, the secondary essentials deal with the nature of God primarily. The fact that there is one God who is Trinity is clearly essential to Christian orthodoxy. but there is no scriptural statement stating that to believe in the Trinity is necessary for salvation. How else are you going to know who God is unless you're in the faith, the Holy Spirit has breathed on you, given you his grace, given you faith to place at the cross of Jesus. And as you open up the Bible, God discloses himself to you to understand that he is triune, or better yet, apprehend that he is triune. Because we can go and we can comprehend, say that we can comprehend the Trinity, and we really don't understand what that word comprehend means. What we're talking about is comprehending to the point of apprehension, meaning that we're apprehending the truth of the Christian faith and wrapping our mind around it and embracing it. But since the Trinity is a biblical truth and the believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit who bears the witness of the truth, please understand, a true Christian will not openly denounce the Trinity once he's been taught it from Scripture. So it could be said that the secondary essentials are essentials to the faith as well as the primary essentials are. Now, the primary non-essentials are biblical teachings that, if they are denied, they do not affect one's salvation. And I know that I listed them earlier, so let me explain to you what this means. Because the Bible teaches them, denying them, Let me say it this way. But because, you know, if you deny, it doesn't affect your salvation, okay? But because the Bible does teach them, denying them is a sign of potential apostasy. This is what I wanted to say. The secondary non-essentials do not affect one's position with God, nor do they affirm or deny the biblical teaching, since they are debatable. Having different beliefs in these is not a sign of apostasy, but they're just differences of opinion. Again, you know, I'm aware that the categorization of non-essentials is debatable, but we've got to draw a line somewhere, okay? We've got to draw a line somewhere, and sadly, it is the secondary non-essentials that most denominational fragmentation occurs. This is a sad display that most divisions occur, that which is at least important. And can I say this, that I believe that it is in the area of the non-essentials that apostasy can first be detected. You know, when we quoted 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, as we quoted above, about the coming apostasy that is associated with the disclosure of the Antichrist, let no one deceive you, for it, Jesus' return, will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Now, my question to you is, have you been looking for the Antichrist? Are you waiting for him to pop on the world scene? And if you are, are you also looking for related apostasies? Most Christians are looking for the Antichrist, but are not looking for the signs of apostasy. Folks, the Bible is God's word. It doesn't become God's word when you open it. It is God's word. It doesn't contain God's word. It is God's word. And it tells us what is right and what is wrong. And to the degree that anyone disagrees with the truths of God's word, to that same degree, they are falling away from the truth of God's word. What then might be the signs of apostasy? Well, here is a list of issues. Now, this is where you may agree or you may disagree with these, but I'm just giving you these for food for thought, okay? And there are a bunch of them, all right? I'm going to list them. I'm going to summarize them, and we're going to move through each one of them, okay? Number one, denial of basic Christian doctrines such as the Trinity, the deity of Jesus Christ, the deity of the Holy Spirit, salvation by grace, and moral absolutes as they are found in Scripture. Folks, God's word is true. Deviation from the basics of these truths is surely apostasy. countless denominational divisions, number two, that contradict John 13:35 and 1 Corinthians 1:10. Of course, there are bound to be divisions. This is passages that talk about divisions, and there are differences of opinion that are permitted. But the number of divisions in the church is ridiculous and contrary to Scripture. Ordination of homosexuals, number three. Homosexuality, same-sex sexual relations, is clearly condemned in Scripture. We see this in Leviticus 18:22. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9, and to ordain someone in that practice into the ministry is clearly contrary to the biblical truth and clearly apostasy. Number four is kind of a touchy area here, and that is women elders and pastors. And wherever you have this, whether people like this or not, in this politically correct environment, the Bible is clear. It does not support women as pastors or elders. Men are called to be leaders in the church. There is a place for women in women's leadership, but the fact that women elders and pastors exist is a sign that men are not doing their God-given job. Also, if you believe in women pastors and elders, do not dismiss what we're sharing here. You must always examine yourself to see if what you believe is biblical. Number fifth, we laid out for you the gospel as far as laid out in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, that Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and he rose on the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, if you're not preaching the gospel per se, per 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4, the gospel clearly is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus for our sins. It is not a message of convenience or embarrassment. So let me just say this along with the Apostle Paul. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and neither should you be. Number 16, using the Lord's name in vain, something a surprising number of Christians do. God's name and title are to be used only by Christians in a reverent and respectful manner, never in casual exclamation. But because we're sinners and the sinners do what sinners do, does not mean it is okay for Christians. Number seven, not sending out or failing to support missionaries or cutting back unnecessary in violation of Matthew 28. I'll leave that there. Marketing and merchandising, in other words, making your church a marketplace for something other than the gospel and going and making it, selling something. We were up in upstate New York, and I was going to preach at a church. And there was a church up near the Rochester area, I think. And they had a store that sold Halloween decorations and supported the church budget with the profits of that. That's a problematic issue. So marketing and merchandising. Pastors who are more concerned with growing a church than preaching the truth. Number 10, pastors who do not pray and seek God's face. Number 11, pastors who cave into pressure from church in contradiction to the Word of God. Number 12, pastors who fail to equip their congregation according to God's word. Folks, this is where error can run rampant with these few things that I just mentioned with regards to pastors. If you have no checks and balances in your church, if you have no way of going and filtering good teaching versus bad teaching, your church could fall into apostasy very quickly. Number 14, Christians gathering teachers to themselves to make them feel good. You know, we see this all the time. You know, I like this preacher. I like that preacher. I like Joel Osteen. I like Benny Hinn. I like blah, blah, blah. You know, Pastor Doogie Howser, MDiv. Folks, find a Bible teacher that's going to equip you and teach you what Scripture teaches. You'll be glad that you did. Number 15, and lastly, evolution. You know, evolution is a big thing, you know, and I'm talking, when I talk about evolution, I'm talking about macro evolution. I'm not talking about micro, which is essentially, shouldn't even be called microevolution. It should be called genetics, as Gregor Mendel and his Punnett squares actually demonstrated right around the time that Darwin wrote his book, Origin of Species, with special emphasis to natural selection of human races. That's the second part of his title. Folks, we really need to get back to the Bible. We really need to, in a day today, we need to be teaching what Scripture teaches. And folks, if you are struggling with anything that I've shared with you in this episode, please understand, number one, I love you. Number two, I am teaching you what I have researched. Number three, I want to be held accountable to teaching you what I believe to be the biblical truth. And that's here I stand. I will do no other. You know, because apostasy is all around us in varying ways. And as Christians, you and I need to be very sure that we are clinging to the truth of the Scriptures and resisting the inclusion of liberalism, moral relativism, and the oncoming secularism that is all around us. Folks, we have the emergent church. We have progressive Christianity. We have secular humanism, absolutely. And you have a lot of secular humanism in three-piece suits in a lot of your liberal churches today, going and denying the miracles in the Bible. But we also have something coming on the horizon as well, and that is what is called transhumanism. Folks, our world is going sidewards, and you and I need to stand on the Word of God and never be ashamed of the truth of the gospel. As the Apostle Paul stated in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Greek." You've been listening to the Let's Get Real podcast with Rob Lundberg. We've gone over what we have, but this is such an important issue that we really need to go and start off 2022 right. If you have any questions about what I have shared with you in this very first episode of 2022, buckle your seatbelt, or as my friend Brad Stein would say, put a helmet on. Because folks, you and I need to hold to the truth of the Word of God. I believe the Bible is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses, recording for us supernatural events that are in direct fulfillment to specific prophecies, and these writers claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. 40 different writers, 3 different languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic, and 3 different continents, Asia, Europe, and Africa. Folks, as you go out this week, please listen to this podcast again. If you have any questions, please email me at roblundberg315@gmail.com. And as you go out this week, listen for the world around you. As you go to church this week and in your midweek services, listen for those things that are true and let your baloney detector be tweaked up to detect error in your church. Folks, the Bible is true. Jesus is true. Jesus rose from the dead. And if Jesus is risen from the dead, then Christianity is true. And everything else outside of what Jesus taught and what Jesus did is false. So as you go out this week, go out and give them heaven. And Lord willing, we'll be back with you next week. God bless.